Blog Talk Radio.
Truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, my apologies for the delay. Truth be told, our first night on, ladies and gentlemen, where the truth must be heard, where we educate, motivate, and rehabilitate, ladies and gentlemen. Truth be told, today's show is going to be good. We're coming in hot. Reparations or war? Well, I say war, Uncle Sam. Way he walk around bragging and boasting, abusing his authority, brothers. Well, no more is what the Panthers saying, Atlanta Decatur chapter. Well, we preach reparations. Because reparations is what you owe the people. Truth be told, and you will pay what you owe. Truth be told. This is Lieutenant Work from the Black Panther Party. There's no new here. Always been a Panther. Still going to be a Panther, whether you claim the name or you claim the fame. Still going to be a Panther. Excuse me, a Panther. All power to the people. Not one man's power, but all should have power. But all power to the people. Not one man's power. This ain't no dictatorship like what they trying to make it out to be. For what my man Adam Jones say, they making deals to give the president some type of dictatorship status where he has full control over the army anywhere, anyhow, any place. Sounds like war to me. Guess we might as well get our guns and ammunition. Prepare for reparations and war. Time for a change. I say war to Uncle Sam. Been cruising riding high long enough. Time we tear down the seat instead of shining the seat for somebody else to sit in.
Mute your phone, then.
Time for a change. That's what I say to Uncle Sam. Today's show is reparations of war. I need to hear from the people. I need to hear from the people, man. We've been gunned down. We've been arrested. They lock us up, throw away the key, change the laws. Abridge the Constitution, in which it says no man shall abridge my constitutional law, my right to bear arms, my freedom of speech. Shall I go on? I need to hear it from the people. You got something to say? We need to hear it from you. Press one if you want to speak. I see y'all lighting up, pardon my silence, but we need a change. Caller 5939, you're on the air. 5939.
What's up? All power to the people. Revolutionary power to revolutionary people. This is Chairman Yanga. Man, I just want to keep this hot topic. I want to give a good look on the Atlanta Decatur People's Party on getting the blog talk up and running. Serious conversation. Reparations of war. And one of the things I think I'd like to hear discussed is, what does reparation look like to the people? When we say reparations, exactly what are we talking about and how does that look to the people? Your participation, listen, this is from the People's Party. So the people's participation is welcome and encouraged. If you have any questions, any comments, hit us up on Cool V2. Call us in. We see the phone lines right here.
Yes.
Out to the people, you're on 2772-504.
All power to the people. This is Brother Harold from out of New Orleans. Okay. Now I say this: the reparations or war. When I'm like this, we already going to war. We going to war with the police. We going to war with the landlords. We going to war. Now I do believe that we do need reparations to repair what's due to us. You know, we can rebuild our communities where we live in, because we went through 400 years of slavery and we haven't received anything. Everybody else has received it, and we're the only ones that haven't received it. Not so much about getting money, you know. We need land and everything, because to be a revolutionary, you have to have land, you know. Because what's the sense in us getting the money, and the money go right back to our oppressors?
That's right on.
Yeah. So, you know, with reparations, we need reparations to repair the damage what was done to us, and you know, where we can build our communities where we live at.
Well, right on, bro. We definitely appreciate that call. That sounds like Brother Harold out of New Orleans. Is that you, dear brother?
Yes, that's
me. Man, right on, man. So stay on the line because we're gonna want your input and your comments. Let's go to some of the staff up here, get some of the Atlanta Decatur People Party involved. What y'all think about what Brother Harold said?
Well, this is Lieutenant Work. Now, for what Brother Harold said, I do agree indeed that we are going to war. And it seems that for our people, we are not prepared for war. You know, seems that, you know, we've dumbed down to the Martin Luther King way of doing things. Peace and harmony. Except in the whip on your back. Well, nowadays, my way, you know, by the way, I'm 23, young brother. You know, most of my brothers or my fellow comrades are young, 26 maybe. You know, we got some good wisdom around, but nevertheless, we're not prepared for war.
Let's see what Sister Lenny can say so we can go back to the phone line. Again, welcome to Sister Lenny. Your input, your comments, welcome. Check us out. This is your opportunity to state your statement, to speak what you want to speak, and sense it. Thank you by the Atlanta Decatur People's Party. Sister Lenny, did you want to, before we go back to the phone, did you want to say anything about what Brother Harold said?
Sure, African power. First of all, I want to speak on reparations. Reparations we can worry about later, and I'm going to say we can repair ourselves if we come together and corner certain things. Yeah, we're already at war, first with our minds, because we're still enslaved by not preparing ourselves with the things that we need to move forward with some type of stabilization and discipline and military. So war is being waged on us, not only with them taking people out, but as well as them waging war on our minds. there's a number of ways we can repair ourselves, and we must educate ourselves thoroughly to that. We don't need that currency. That currency is one of the things that placed us in the position of slavery, and we'll get further into that later in the show. But I do want to say there's a very distinct issue. Reparations then, because we weren't allowed to get certain things. We're at war now. So once we do what we need to do, and I think if we come together as a whole, as a nation, would we need their reparations, or will there be room to make decisions to repair ourselves? And that's all I wanted to say, and I'll speak again, African power.
African power. It's a very valid point. Let's go to our phone line. Let's go to 601-3929.
Power, black power. Black power.
Black power.
It's Brother Alameen out of Mississippi.
Black power. What was that, bro?
It's Black
Power.
You, this is Brother Alameen out of Mississippi.
Oh, Black Power, Brother Alameen out of Mississippi, man. Appreciate you calling in, and good luck on posting the paper.
All right. Now, revolutionary love to all my peoples out there listening. Nothing but that. I have a question. We have a question here that basically is coming out. Now, a lot of us think us revolutionary, but see, we don't understand what the end game is, okay? And the question has to ask, do we know what the end game is? The end game is either two options that people don't relate to, and I have to say this because a lot of us, we forget about the end game is the reason we became revolutionary is because we're upset at the result, the way the government, the way the people, the way we are treated in today's society. So we make this choice to make a change for the condition as a whole. And because of that condition, we got to understand that what is the end of the game? Are we going to become the government? And if that's so, then that means we need to be able to make, if we're going to govern ourselves, then that means we have to understand that the so-called end game of it all is that we become the government, and that means it becomes a job. Yes, we volunteer the time now, but the end result is this becomes a full-time job or hold those accountable that has the job, and we make sure they do the job right. But then we still have to understand this becomes a full-time job. We do not understand that that's the so-called end game of it all. We're formulating
and
a proper government.
And I agree with you. Indeed, it is a full-time job. And no, we don't come out solely saying that we even want to be the government. You know, and this is a lieutenant work, but we're not even saying that we want to be the government, but if the government can't be refurbished or, you know, some kind of way put in a level of legitimacy, then the people must become its own government, especially for black people. Like, you know, this is a race where it's all power to the people, power to the red man, blue man, green man. Well, it seems every color has claimed his power except for the black man. You know, we got to claim our power in this race. So, you know, it's not that we come off like we want to be the government, but in this particular situation, as far as our revolution, we have to be our own government. Because this system, this government is not built for us to succeed within. We're going to always have problems. And instead of us crying to the same white man that's giving these problems to us as if he's going to assist or aid our fellow brothers is kind of preposterous, if I may.
Right. Like, and that's the thing. The thing is, I want to make it clear because a lot of us, we join the revolutionary movement but don't understand that's the end game. That's the end plan. That's the main plan. But, you know, we thinking, okay, we become weekend warriors and still realize that we're supposed to be creating our own businesses to to support our own community so that we can fund the programs and or push the agenda that for our children so that they can have a proper tool so they can survive in their generation and the next generation after that. But we don't do that. And, you know, so if we're fighting for reparations and we're fighting for the end game to come into fruition, then we're not actually looking at that really because we're not really we're fighting rah, 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 but we don't understand. That is the main goal. That is the main point that we need to be looking at. And a lot of us have not really grasped that yet. I mean, that's why that term weekend warriors come out. We just want to pop up when it's something going wrong, and then, you know, when it calms down and it's not in the news or it's not on TV or we're not a chance for our face to be on TV and say, hi, mama, you know, we sit our butt down, you know, and go right back to complaining instead of actually having a actually keep on with the solution because the movement is to become an end result. And we're not thinking about the end result. We just have a plan of how to act right then and there instead of acting and figure out, okay, well, we acted now, but what's the next step after we act?
Let me jump in here and say this. Survival and continuation. Can you hear me now? Okay, sorry about that. I'll go back then and I'll recap. One of the things that I wanted to say was when you talk about the revolution as a job, I'll take it a step further. Say that it's about survival. It's about the continuation and the propagation of the African race in America. That's the first thing. Secondly, I think that you always say the saying that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one footstep. I think a lot of us understand the end aspiration of us being our own nation, of us being a self-determined and self-sufficient people. The problem that I always run across and seem to have with a lot of progressive black organizations, and there are very few outside of the People Party that are revolutionary black nationalist organizations, but is the process and procedures and the programs that need to be implemented to carry us to that point. One of the things that made the third development, in my studies of the third development, my opinion, of course, so successful and such a threat to the powers that be or to the people that opposed it was that they taught an African people here in America that they could be self-sufficient. They had their own health programs. They had their own food programs. They had safe seniors against fearful environment. They had a shoe program. They had an ambulance. They had a bus to prison program. They were completely and totally becoming self-sufficient and practicing an African communalism. It wasn't about one person rising above the all. It was about the all being empowered, the good of the all. Everybody started to sacrifice for the good of the all. And we see that implemented with other peoples. I mean, if you live in any city, I could, you know, most cities have the Arabs and Italians and Chinese, but I can use them being down south in a lot of places, and I dear brother, not knocking them, our beautiful Latino community. I'm not knocking anybody for empowering themselves, but it shows the power of their nationalism. But what will we do? Instead of us reclaiming our Africanism, we'll start to reclaim everybody else. I'm an amigo. Not dissing y'all cats out of it, but I'm an amigo. I'm a this, I'm a that. We everybody but African. So that's the hindrance to hold up a self-determination. How are you going to be a self-sufficient people and an independent people when you don't even know who you are? So this is what the People's New Black Panther Party is talking about. Let's go to Lieutenant Worksha. Let's go to our phone line. Appreciate that call, Brother Alameen. Let's go to 757-3292. Your mic is open if you have a comment or anything you'd like to add to the discussion.
Anything, I'm sorry, your mic is open.
want to open them up.
Yeah. To answer my brother's question from earlier, as far as thinking about the end game, the end game for us, is black power, African power, Nigerian power, Kenyan power, whatever. Skin black power. You understand me? You feel me? You know, you got brown power, you got red power. You know, again, this is Lieutenant Work of the Black Panther Party. You know,
you wanna open the
line up, One name, a lot of faces. You know, we got a lot of callers. Just feel free to speak out. It's like community hall. One of my great ideas, I must abridge, or should I say, nevertheless, it's like community hall. Let's discuss the problems amongst the people. But nevertheless, I feel like the other brother was saying as well, we must educate our people. That's the ultimate goal. We have to educate more doctors, more lawyers, more dentists, more growth and development within our own community. Like, we got to stop feeling like we can reach to the outsiders for help. Help must come from within. And it's a shame that the few black people in our community has turned against us, the few black people with money, Oprah, people like that, some real money who can do some, ain't really aiding and assisting, as one would say.
Exactly. And to jump in and open up, call us. The lines are open, pushing. The topic is reparations and war. You know, what does reparations look like to you? Alameen made some points, like Lieutenant Work is raising points about what we have to do, what level are we, you know, do we have to take it? How do you address these issues? We have a lot of, you know, groups out there for reparations, and I would encourage y'all to look into them. I would encourage y'all to look into these organizations, you know, in COBRA and the various organizations are about reparations. But call in. You got your comments. You got your questions. This time you can call in, Truth Be Told, brought to you by the Atlanta Decatur People's Party. All we can do is open the floor.
Man, I need to hear from the people. What do the community need when you look around? Small problems, things you feel like you can address out of your pocket. You know, just the other day I was looking at the news and I seen a Hispanic young man, downtown, feeding homeless out of his Impala. I was like, niggas ain't the only one realizing the struggle. I ain't the only one realizing there need to be some unity. Maybe that's what Huey meant when he said rainbow coalition.
You might want to open up those.
Everybody together.
Those mics that people all open them up, let them in the conversation.
I need to hear from the people. 770-572-4935. Your line is open.
Oh, really? Okay. Hello?
Yeah, we on the air. What's your name, brother?
This is Brother Turu, Stone Mount, Georgia.
Stone Mount, power to the people.
Yeah, power to the people, black power.
Black
well,
power
brother, as I look around, You said, what do we need? You know, what do we need as a community? I believe that it's something that each and every person, each and every individual needs. Each and every individual needs to learn who they are. They need to learn to love themselves and have knowledge of self, because you can't love anybody else or unify with anybody else if you're not first unified with yourself. So it's got to be a thing where everybody's working on themselves. And then once we learn how to love ourselves, then we can come together and love our community, because then we know how. You know, we got everything we need as far as food, shelter, clothes, You know, I know people that spend $20 a day on weed, but they're on food stamps. So they ain't got no food shortage. But at the same time, they hate theyself. So they do things on a daily basis to destroy theyself. So how can we expect them to look out into the world and love somebody else or love something else or build something else when they destroy their own self every day?
That's why they're watching. What's up, Turu?
What's happening?
Man, you got it, brother. That's right on, man, that love of self and that knowledge of self. You know, that's where it's going to start from.
I think it's going to start from the basics. You know, like each one teach one. They say actions speak louder than words. So most people like to talk unity, but their actions doesn't display unity. So people is kind of like, you know, like I don't really know about his unity because he talk unity, but he doesn't display unity. I think it's going to take an act of unity, like displaying and unifying as one or two or three. And if you go to four, then that means you got something. So, you know, I feel like that's where it starts. Like the basic unifying of getting together frequently, whether it be just to discuss the problems, putting in the pot. You ain't got to put it in nobody's hands, just bring it to the table. You know, it just, to me, it's all about economics at this point. Black business. If we can make black business, we can create black jobs, which will create black money, which will create black currency, which will create an overthrow of white currency, if it's possible, which is revolution to me. It's going to take the entire village until we're exhausted, until we've exhausted all measures, which we haven't. I think we need to invest more in the homeschooling or opening schools so that we can educate our brothers and sisters regardless of what we need, because separation right now will hurt us because it's not enough black people educated to take on what one government might need if we was to separate. Not enough doctors, not enough dentists, not enough, you know, people involved in technology. Well, I can't really say that. Maybe it is, but they're hidden, truth be told. They ain't speaking up. They ain't stepping up. But we're gonna go to the lines. Phone number 5486417. You're home.
Fear. I'm going to say that. We are in fear of moving. We're in fear of planning. We're in fear. I think a lot of people are scared to move forward. The biggest issue is this. Separation is very necessary. Reforming ourselves in a governmental system that has been designed and critiqued to destroy our African nation, our African history, the communities, the villages, the tribes, or whatever you want to reference it as, we have to put those things back together. It is very hard to figure out who the infiltrators are. It is very hard to figure out how we're being infiltrated if we continue to be integrated. Segregation is very important because that would give one, unity of our people, a space where we can actually congregate with our people and re-educate our people according to the things that has been designed to destroy us. Economically, I hear a lot of people talking about money. Currency in a federal note you all should study because it's just that. It's only a one-way contract to hell. We should be worried about more on resources. As Brother Sahuru said, we have food, clothing, and shelter. What we have to do is have the strength to walk away, bring all that we have to the table, as Brother Work said, and we can build a mighty nation. We take this currency in the current situation to buy the things that we need. If we reverse that cycle, figure out ways to corner markets and get all of the commodities or the resources back, the same thing that they hijacked us for, we need their federal note. So with that being said, I think we need to get out of fear of being able to speak. They're analyzing us and watching us everywhere. So what? They already came up with technology. Unfortunately, we were blinded and we didn't find out until late. They have gagged our people, even in the documentary that was just shown, in court physically. They have killed our people. They have shown us in so many positions that the only way to make change is for us to make change. And with that being said, I think that we just need to look at some more things. And if we want to pay attention to how to get land, we also have to understand that we are free people. We don't have to be freed people. We are free people. And when we understand that their agenda is the destruction of our people, then we'll stand up and fight. But if we're not willing to die for it, we will not be respected. African power.
Power to the people. But I just want to say you touched on some good notes there. Very good notes. I agree completely. Education is a must, but at the end of the day, war is a must as well. I think it's just time for us to bring all of our ideas together, all of our strategies. Whoever got a strategy, just bring it. Let's see if some kind of way we can mold it together to make something happen. Spark change in the community. Go down to the schools, you know, mentoring camps, training camps. If you got any type of skills you feel like you can offer to the community, free lessons, anything. Anything to turn our community back into what it was. I think we got away from the old way of doing things, teaching skills. Oh, man, our community lacks skills. I see it every day. The lack of a man being able to fix a clogged-up sink is terrifying to everybody. You know, grass going uncut. Roofs going untouched. No explanation for it. We just stop teaching. The ones that can teach ain't teaching. Sad. You know, I'm only 23. I know a little something, but I don't know it all. And all the wisdom dying off with the elders. You know? So, once that's gone, then what? Truth be told, going to the lines, we're going to go to caller 4469, you're on the air.
Black power, gentlemen. I see we on and running.
We definitely on, sister. And we definitely running.
Yes. Are we able to link this on our social network site?
Yeah, we absolutely sure. And let me. And first of all, sister, you know I'm gonna get on you for not introducing yourself. This is our National Minister of Justice,
I'm sorry.
Dr. Justice.
Yes. I'm sorry, sir.
I knew it, but I think that it's good for people to listen and members and potential members to come in and know some of the brothers and sisters that have volunteered to take the lead in this charge and this struggle and to offer their advice. It's like they always say in Atlanta, Decatur, this is a volunteer party. So anyone that's willing to sacrifice the time and effort and energy and resources it takes to be a lead officer, I always like to recognize.
Well, I understand all the things that we were talking about regarding bringing our community together. But however, what we need to understand and educate ourselves on with regard to leadership is that everything, like Brother Yanga said, he said that they've taken out the food programs we got. They hijacked that. Anything it is that we are able to offer, these individuals seem to hijack that, including the churches. Whatever it is that the party is doing that is serving the community, there's always some bloodsucker standing there trying to snatch it up and make some point. And you know what's really bad about that is that the people in the community go for it. They would rather deal with a church than to come into where the party is to be able clothing and, you know, referrals to be able to get medical insurance and medical. In any case, I've seen this firsthand. We went out into the community and we tried to establish a working relationship with the schools and the kids that actually came to our program. What happened? They started their own program, which actually mirrored ours, and they started feeding dinner. So whatever it is that we do, they seem to hijack it. So if we teach, and what's really even worse is that the people in the community would rather deal with the churches, the schools. They would rather deal with the government thing than to deal with what the party is giving. So my question is, not so much my question, but my answer to that is we have to be more visible. More visible in the sense, in places where we're talking about, let's say somebody gets shot. You know, the places the things that are really plaguing our people are places that we are not present in. And because we are not allowed to recognize our self-determination. They are taking that away at critical points within our community, such as being able to offer CPR to somebody that was shot by the police, such as, I mean, you could do your community patrols, but you will be harassed by the police. When we talk about even the community, as I said, what they'll do is you'll run a community, something that has something to do with the children, and as soon as they hear Black Power or Black Empowerment, they hurry up and get their kids and want to get out of there. The only time they really want to deal with anything that has to do with Black Empowerment is if you've given them something for free, which means they can take it and leave. Other than that, we have to think of better ways, such as the Huey Newton Gun Club. That's one way to get people interested in. We're starting the archery club, the Bobby Hutton Archery Club, to bring in the community. So, I mean, and you have people who are doctors, people who are within the party. You have teachers, doctors, people who are studying law. You have all of these different components. But my question is, how is it that you get the community to come in? Because once you start teaching people about their rights, somebody is going to grab it up. And the next thing you know, they're going to be doing it through, what do you call those places, the one-stop programs where they help you with jobs and whatnot. Because the thing is, we ran a clinic to be able to teach people about the law. What happens? They started doing it at the place where they give people jobs. So those are just a few. They have put in place the laws to make sure that a lot of things go wrong. So that we can't achieve a workable relationship with the community. So if anybody has any other comments or questions, that is a point where we could start from. How do you bring the people into a Black Power movement for the survival programs that they actually need? Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
And
we're looking at work. Can I answer that, or where you going, sir?
You can go ahead. I'll go after. No problem.
Okay, and that's a good question, and those are some legitimate concerns and real issues. But I think one of the things the other parties out there fail to do that the People's Party pushes is, along with our program, is an ideology. You see, so we push a Black empowering culture. This is the importance of having every department firing. When you got a cultural department, they understand about their revolutionary African culture, their greatness as a people and who they are. Backed up and supported by information programs. So you got radio programs, you got television programs, you got newspapers, you got plays, you got skits, you got dance teams, you got the community program kicks in, then we got sport teams. So we create an empowering culture. You know what I'm saying? What we do is we try to prioritize the revolution. We try to pick, okay, let's tackle this, let's tackle police repression, let's tackle this. No, we got everything has to be tackled. The People Party say we want all mechanisms farmed because we understand, along with police repression, our food deserts in our community so leads to poor nutrition. Now, we ain't feeding our brains. And along with not feeding our brains, we don't control the educational curriculum in our system. So the schools teach our children anything, then force us to send our children to school or the state to come and take your children. So now we're under state repression. You see, so we have to address all the issues and have all the departments firing to create a Black empowering culture. So the people see, it's not that they don't have a choice to go anywhere. It's like in that movie Malcolm X with Denzel, and I know people get me, man, this Negro referring, making references from a movie. But, man, it was a powerful scene when my man, I forget his name, Alfred Woodard, I want to say, that played the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he held up the glass and said, "If you and put ink in it." He said, "If you offer the people a dirty glass and all they have to drink, they'll drink from that. But if you hold," and he held up the clean glass, but he said, "If you hold up a clean glass, they'll take the clean water." So if we create a black empowering cultural lifestyle, as opposed to this lifestyle of death and decay and corruption and capitalization on the disenfranchised and disprivileged with the intentional slaughter of an African people in America, I don't think it would be a choice of which one our people would choose and the programs that they would back and support, especially when they know it affects them directly.
Well, to add on to that, I don't understand why a person wouldn't want to invest or apply time to something that would affect them directly or they could possibly benefit from directly, in which they will benefit from this movement directly. This movement is to empower the community. The more money circulating within the community, the more that we keep within our black community, the less infiltration we have, the less destruction, the less anger, the less unemployment, the less, period. Our community has perished for the lack of being knitted together as we once was. They managed to come through and, you know, pluck us apart thread by thread, some kind of way, or however you want to say it, fell off a rose, whatever they did. Same thing they did to the original Panthers, Huey, them. They came in with COINTELPRO, as most people like to call it. I just call it a move. They made a move. It was a good move, too, because look what it did to the movement. The name has been slandered all over the pavement. Panthers are really, really, really laughed at and looked down upon as a organization that's just looking for attention these days. I don't think that's the way that we should be recognized. I think our movement needs more unity, more togetherness. People got to stop being scared to get their hands dirty, too. You don't have to get your hand dirty. I don't know what everybody else God teach, but my God teaches the time for everything. Need I go on? Need I go on? Excuse me. My God teaches a time for everything. See, it seems that every other ethnic group understands that except for us. We're the only ones that lay down and take it. Everybody else has claimed their power. I think we need to. And it's easy. All we got to do is get together. It's very easy. It's not easier said than done. It's easy. We just got to believe in the plan. And we have to enforce the plan. They make a move on us, we make a move on them. Simple. See, I think that's what the people need to see. They need to see that we can handle the government. I ain't scared of no tanks, no helicopters either. Yeah, you got a gun, I got one too. Got a couple. But see, that's what they need to see, that we can handle it. They make a move on us, we make a move on them. You know? We don't want to talk about nobody getting arrested because we ain't trying to let nobody get arrested. This is our government. This is our land. These are our people. You can't arrest anybody over here. That's what I'm talking about. Put the gates up around this beach. Excuse my French. But you know, it do say rated R up there. I know. You know, you feel like the language is a little too explicit. Sniff. Lieutenant work. I just feel that we need to We just need to snap out of this trance that they got us in, all these laws and policies that doesn't fit African. It doesn't fit us. And we just need to claim what's rightfully ours. Reparations. You can give it to us. You owe it to us. You don't want to give it to us, we'll give you war. But in that war, I feel we need to play chess. Tear up a little bit, gain a little bit, if you get what I'm saying. Go through the front door while we go through the back door, if you get what I'm saying. Trying to tell my people we need to unify on some real top secret, stamp the file, send it out, put it in the... Put it in there. We're going to go to the lines. Call it 548-6417. Let's go.
This is Sister Nandy speaking again. I wanted to say something else. I got a serious question for everybody on the line. We speak highly about how the government is treating us. We all know the things that the government is doing, and we all know what it was designed for. Let me ask everybody on the line, who's willing to walk away from their government to build our government? Who's willing to walk away from their jobs? Who's willing to pull their children and make home schools? Who's willing to take their finances and everything that they believe in and dedicate it solely to the revolution? See, we have to start building programs and a designed area for ourselves. We can't keep asking the same people that don't want us to have anything to provide any type of food, clothing, or shelter, whether it's a food stamp or a Section 8 area. Even with the blindfold of integration and segregation, I want everybody to look around them. How many of us stay in the rural areas of the white man? Nothing but the Toms. So even though we thought we was, you know, fighting for something, we're still segregated. It's just blindfolded. We have to pay attention to educating ourselves according to revolutionary politics, revolutionary economic background, even revolutionary teaching. Brother Malcolm said if they didn't treat you right, what make you think they would teach you right? So if we're not willing to stand firm, first and foremost, in believing in revolution and the end game being us, having stamina and some type of discipline as well as decisions in what happens to us, and we're willing to die for that, then there's a problem. We can't continue to stand here and make certain comments and put ourselves in biased situations. They got gagging laws. They have all type of things where we're on these Facebooks. We've seen people with errors of just voicing their personal opinions about the poverty and things that they're in, and they've been arrested. Educate ourselves to the law first and foremost, although it's biased, but we still have to pay attention until there's change. Secondary, we do not have enough food, clothing, and shelter. Start to pay attention to some of the abandoned buildings that's around. Figure out ways to secure those buildings. You know, it's some buildings for a dollar. It's some areas that people just don't want to place their time and value in. How can we say as a nation, even if we are all black people in one area, if you can sit in your community to see someone hungry, if you can sit in your community to see homes that are abandoned but people are outside sleeping in the rain, then how can we as a nation be able to stand still and stand firm once we even gain any type of, you know, any type of control over land or anything? So with that being said, I just want to say, first, put down all the judgments. We are not black people. We're not green people. We're not Muslims. We're not Christian. We're revolutionary. That's it. That's the end game. Once we get ourselves together culturally, we will find our tribes, because no longer will we be blindfolded by the documentation and manipulation of the Willie Lynch syndrome. Until then, we are revolutionaries, and we've figured out we free people. Now we want to be free from our biased laws in the judicial system that's keeping us hindered and revolving back to their food stamps and Section 8. And that's all I wanted to say. African power.
Work, Luke. You on work?
African power. Well, we heard a lot of sides, a lot of point of views. Seems my only solution still results in war. In my head, The only solution still comes down to unifying, regardless of what personal agendas we have or may have. Looking at the big picture, I don't think anybody's personal agenda should even matter at this point. It's critical.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I like the whole thing of, like what you're saying about unifying. And it goes back to what Nundy talks about a lot about the Willie Lynch when she goes in her classes, which are some great classes on Willie Lynch, the division. Understanding and grasping our in-game aspiration, especially as the People Party. Our in-game is complete self-sufficiency and independence as espoused in point number 10 of the point platform, that we want a plebiscite that's held for us in a location of our choosing, only that our people participate in, because this is the beginning of self-governing. The People's Party is not saying that we want to be the government of the people. What we're saying is that we want to be a party that participates in forming a body of politics and a body of government that oversees the affairs of the everyday masses of African people here in America. That we're saying that historically we have tried. Dr. King, in all his valiant efforts and everything that he tried with the integration and reformist movement, we showed that that wasn't the best for the African man and woman here in America, and that the only solution is salvation is for us to take our destiny into our own hands and to build ourselves. What we're saying to the opposition and the powers that be and the people that would not like to see this, because, you know, I can't sit here and say just white people anymore. I can't sit and just spit the empty rhetoric and the demagoguery and come off and whip our people into a frenzy of emotions about hating the white man. Because the white man has set a system such in place, this capitalist system, which is founded on racist, white supremacist tendencies, ideologies, and philosophies, has set it in such a manner that the African here in America practices white supremacy better than the white man. The black man here, the African here in America, man and woman, practices a white supremacy, participates wholeheartedly, patriotically, to a white supremacist system better than the white man. So when we talk about the end of ending of people, when they say, oh, you know, the white people ain't going to be on the planet Earth, they'll be on the planet Earth as long as their culture, civilization, their philosophy, their dreams, and their visions continue, regardless of who implements it. You know what I'm saying? So you can be dead in the person of or that color of that skin, but if your system lives on and people implement your system, then you live on through that system. So we're saying that the system has to be exposed as detrimental to an African people. And in exposing this system being harmful to an African people, we have to give them the counterbalance of that. And the counterbalance that is a revolutionary culture that is empowering, that is liberating, and that teaches us and encourages us and motivates us to strive for our own independence and self-sufficiency. That's the only way that I see that happening. And so unity has to be based on that. And one of the things that we understand, European principles and African principles, and one of the European principles is the principle of individualism, self-aggrandizement, narcissism, and all these other words they got to say simply means ego, having the big damn head, supremacist, being a supremacist in mindset. Those are European values. And the African value is that of communalism, collectiveness, cooperation, unity, pulling together. We see it, you know, I'm in the South now. We can go back to deep down South when black folk, I'm going to say black folk, didn't lock their doors. When if you was at someone's house at dinner time, you were going to eat. And if not, they would say, baby, you're going to feed you and your friends this day. In fact, it was an insult not to accept some food when offered something to eat. This is when we practice a form of communalism. But due to integration and assimilation, we start to take on the moral, ethic, values of a European people, and it's sick. It's mental insanity. If you saw a cat on the side of the road barking like a dog, you would say something's wrong with the cat. In fact, you would capture that cat and put him in a freak show. That's what you do. You probably sell tickets. See the cat that thinks it's a dog. See the bird that thinks it's a fish. See the frog that thinks it's an elephant. You say, that's the craziest thing in the world. It's an oddity, a freak of nature. It's abnormal. And abnormality, what do they call it? It's abnormal. It's not right. It's weird. So imagine the African that doesn't know anything about Africa, don't know your language, your dress, what tribe you're from, your mores, your noways, your culture, your religion, nothing about Africa, but emulates. Not only does he dress and speak like a European, but he behaves like a European and even becomes misogynistic against his women. His women are the bees. He exploits his women. He puts them on television for the world to see. Has a shaking and grinding for the world to see. No civilized people do this. And I'm going to be brief because, you know, I get the rant. I'll talk to you until you hit the phone lines. And Lieutenant Works said, hey, we got the phone lines, Yanga. But let me say this. In the French-Algerian Wars, in one of the French officers' memoirs that he wrote about the Algerian people, he said, we knew we had conquered their people when we had their women. They're Muslim people in Algiers. He said, when we had their women uncover and do these things, we knew we had the people. Because the woman is the mother of civilization. So when you expose your woman to all type of sicknesses and immoralities and perversities and harm and detriment to the black woman, when you expose her to that and they see you no longer defend this life giver, the first teacher of life, the one that's going to teach your children right and wrong, normal and abnormal behavior, when they see that you turn over to the devil to be trained and raised, then they say, we got those people. Because can you only imagine the seeds that this woman who has been mentally abused and manipulated into just whatever against her people, can you imagine the sons that she raised? And then you wonder why we point guns at one another and shoot one another.
And the reason why things like this occur is for the lack of togetherness. We just got to stop thinking about the money. The money is killing us right now. And people are doing the unthinkable for the money. The money is killing us. We got to rid ourselves of the money. We're going to go to the line and see what the callers say. We're going to go to number 4935. You're on the air.
We had a caller that asked about how to make the movement more appealing to people that's really not involved in the movement right now. I can make a suggestion. When I say it start with each and every person and it start with yourself, I'm saying you got to lead by example. When people speak to you, how you speak back is important. When people come to your house and they ask you for a drink of water and they happen to be in your kitchen and you open your refrigerator and they see a bunch of healthy food and vegetables in your refrigerator or on your counter or whatnot, they start to take mental notes. Whether you know it or not, they start to take mental notes. If they call you up and ask you, what you doing right now? I'm now flipping through this book, you know what I'm saying? Let them know that you're building yourself mentally. When they ask you what you're doing, let them know that you got goals. Well, I'm planning on doing this, this, and this down the line, so I'm getting myself prepared. And what that do is spark people to start thinking about themselves. And then they have goals. And then they start caring more about themselves. And what happens since we're in a clandestine community, I mean a clandestine movement, I don't even speak on the Panthers or about them being a recruit or whatnot. I just build with them on a daily basis, build on their mind, their body, their spirit, let them know that it's all working together, you know. Let them know that you are what you eat. What you listen to, what you put in your body, is going to all affect what come out. What you think about the most, that's what you're going to be. And what you say about yourself, how the person look when they look in the mirror. And then when they get to a certain level and they start to grow and they start to see themselves growing, our conversations, the levels of our conversations change, then I let them know that they actually being recruited to be a Black Panther. And then they know what the Black Panther is. They know what the ideology is about. Without me even saying, this is what Black Panthers do, this is what Black Panthers do, that's what Black Panthers do. I know that it starts with me, and I know they watch it. I mean, if that helped with the question that the lady had.
That most definitely helped. And we appreciate your input. We're going to go to caller 601. You're on the air. Area code 601, you on the air.
I think that's
how
we
need. Got power?
Power to the people.
Power. Yeah, I really want to go back and answer that, what's the symptom. It's, you know, for every sickness, there is a cure for the symptom. Sister mentioned fear. We need to re-understand what's going on. Today's modern slavery, playmaster, is fear. Fear is what controls us and makes us not do, keeps us at bay, because our fear is controlling our actions today. Or we live by fear, we die by fear, we even kill in fear, because our fear is controlling our complete mental state. And because of that, we're not very aware of that. And if we are aware of it, we don't try to find a cure for the sickness. And we need to try to understand that whole perspective as well. Because every time we talk about we're going to do something, we're going to get this done, we need to get this done, need to get this done. All right. Something else to say, also mention, how many people are ready to drop their job? How many are ready to quit? Let me tell you something. I did that for 1 year. I got rid of my job. I focused on just the solutions. But because of the fear of the many, outweighing the one who's willing to do and make happen, it becomes a hurtful situation that concludes to the whole. So that is basically what we are in. We're in the modern slavery is not the white man. It's not the any other man. It's fear. Modern slavery is fear. The slave master is fear. And if we ever going to seek reparation, to have concomitant reparation, we're going to have to get the cure for fear as the Jews say, took us. We need to get that out, and we need to try to make sure to get rid of the fear and stop the talking and get to the action. The action is in front of you. If we don't do the action, guess what? The one that is on the front line, the one that is acting, the one that is willing to do, you're not hurting yourself. You're hurting that person who is willing to say, okay, I don't know you from Adam, but I'm willing to go on the front line for you and make sure that when time comes that you're able to do what you need to do to survive for you and your family on a broader spectrum. So we're not faced and we're not understanding that, and we keep on living with fear. See, fear is a powerful, addictive drug that was basically someone slipped a Mickey into our bodies, and now we're hooked on it, okay? So now you have a vast community called Coonism or Samboism or Uncle Tomism, and you got your own brother that you have to watch out, or your own cousin, you got to watch out who's willing to sell you out. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, what the problem is, we're not trying to find a cure for the so-called problem of fear. If we can cure the problem of fear, I guarantee you all our problems will be out of the way. Black Power.
Black Power. To me, that was power. I think fear plays a major role in this situation that has occurred in our community. It has not been fair, and it still isn't fair. And I just think it's time that we we do exactly what you said. Move fear to the side. You know, a wise little riddle once taught me that you must step into everything with boldness. You never step into it with fear. You know, you never step into it second guessing it. Second guessing plays a role in fear. It's a slight, it's like level one to fear. As soon as you second guess, you begin to fear. Oh, maybe this could happen. You worry and you're stressing. Everything gets to the next level. But I think that we should get rid of fear. Fear destroyed us. Peace has destroyed us. We can have peace with each other. But we only gonna have peace with the outside of the, when it's deemed necessary. Right now, I don't think it's deemed necessary. We've been infiltrated. We've been manipulated. We've been molested in various ways. Our economy has been molested. Our minds has been molested. Our bodies have been molested with this modern-day slavery, this minimum wage. We must invest in black business. We must take, if that's deemed necessary. We must fight. I think all of our fighting died with Huey and Malcolm. Nevertheless. Well,
and I like to jump in here and address the fear question, like Alameen said. You're absolutely right, man. Fear is one of the biggest problems we face as the African community. But I think the way to overcome fear is just to get involved. And us as revolutionaries to make sure that we don't become, you know, one of the problems with I don't like being called the vanguard is because the vanguard starts to act as the forefront, the overseer of the people. Then we start to measure people's revolutionary commitment and revolutionary love. Some people are not frontline soldiers. That's the bottom line. But all in any fight, let me tell you something. If I'm out here fighting and getting jumped and beat, I don't care if somebody on the side don't do nothing but spit, throw a rock, throw some dust, hoop and holler. Anything in a fight is welcome. So some of our people will not be at that point ready to make the commitment. A lot of us are, but their participation is welcome. And what we hope is that we act as a contagion. We act as that when they see our bravery, when they see our commitment and our dedication and our loyalty to the cause of the people, that that will somehow affect them, affect and infect. That it will somehow inspire them and to motivate them to be a little more courageous. And before you know it, man, the cat that you thought wasn't bust a grape in a food fight, you have to hold him back. You know what I'm saying? So, but the people have to see what we're fighting for and that it is a winnable fight and that it is a worthy cause. You know what I'm saying? It's just not a bunch of angry black men and women shaking their fists or a bunch of people who are sick of black young men getting murdered, and then we out here with picket signs and laying in the street. They have to see the real involvement of the people and say, hey, this really does affect my life more than just when my son is murdered, but on my health, on my, you know, they have liberation schools on Saturday to help my children help in their reading. They have survival programs, not just survival programs, but economic programs to help, because unfortunately the truth is a lot of our people are on food stamps. That's the truth. But we start from the very basic beginning. How do you budget food stamps? You know what I'm saying? What food should you get? You should go in, and when these stamps come in, you should go in the stores with some of these young sisters, all them Zoom Zooms and Wham Whams and Yippee Yops and Hoo Hoos and Ha Ha's. So, Saying that, and I'll be brief, saying that we wonder why when our children go to school, they put our children on rhythm. They say our children can't sit still or are hyper. So a lot of that goes into our diet. So I say all of that to say someone may need to mute their phone. We hear music in the background. So I say all of that to say that once the people see that the revolution is pertinent to their life, that it affects them directly, then I think that they will be more involved and more apt to participate in their own liberation. And once they get a taste of freedom, like Nani said, we're already free, but once they get a taste of freedom, then that's going to inspire the courageousness and get rid of the fear because they're going to want more. Freedom is addictive. know what I'm saying? That's the best drug you can be on, freedom. Give me some freedom any day. I get high off of that all day, and the people are going to crave it, and they're going to want it. And just like any fiend, just like any addict, just like any head of strawberry, whatever you call them in your city, they're going to do what it takes to obtain that high. And freedom is a high in itself. So let's be suppliers of freedom. Black Power.
Okay, I wanted to speak on fear. This is Sister Nandy. I'm not going to dread long on this subject. I just want to add something to what Brother Yanga said. We all fear. We're the Black Panthers. A Panther is born every day. We have to learn from all the techniques, not just from the justice of all the organizations that were fighting for change back during that time. I don't think they didn't allow me to cultivate their love. They didn't allow me to cultivate the security of their community. They were their own society. We had our own ancestors programs, safe. You know, seniors are getting fearful and violent. We had some kids getting to address when we start to release the pieces or having to move around, then they'll be able to understand what our community is all about. And secondary, we have to put down judgment. A lot of people have got away with it. We did not fight oppression with oppression. We didn't fight racism with racism. We didn't fight hatred with hatred or judgment with judgment. What we did was become a self-sufficient organization, and we brought all of our people in that wanted them.
Kind of move around a little bit, especially your phone breaking up.
We can't think we're going to save all people because of a color of our skin. There's Uncle Tom Negroes since the beginning of time. They have kept us sick to the face of the past. We speak about chattel slavery and a number of other things. This is the show, Truth Be Told. When we start telling truth and not being scared to do it, like the original Panther, the Black Panther, Louis said, we can go all the way back to that. And we are not afraid to speak the truth about what the bootlicking problems are doing and stop focusing so much on hate issues because of color. We'll make a difference. You know, we talk about the white people and stuff, but I see a lot of Black officers, Black judges, Black social workers that are taking our truth. So we have to address that and get out of the psychological mind frame of thinking all our people are going to become revolutionaries and understand what freedom is. The word freedom, we can't free all the time. But we're free people. So with that being said, I just want you to understand strategically we're going to speak and also represent organizations. This is just another development. And I want to, you know, say that we're, it's nothing really new about us. It's just that we understand that we've been the same well taken 63 years, not 400. That's another mental mind state that we're in, because we still have people believing that slavery is in the existence. It's in full existence right now because everything that we in this letter said has been placed on us, and it's been really effective because we fight against each other. So with all of that, you know, if we take time out to initiate things that have destroyed us, not be afraid to speak out about them. Because Malcolm X said, you know, bloodshed, you know. It's going to be some bloodshed, but if you die, that's perfectly true. But if we're still just talking about some rhetoric, things that they know that's not going to help us, that voting for them. I'm not saying that voting would be, or, you know, there are going to be things that have to be, you know, particular being having certain laws or keeping people who are just outright rapists and all of that, regardless of color. But do we have to hand out, like, benefits, or do we build programs in order to, one, rehabilitate our people and make them understand that those things shouldn't be done in our community. But how we do that? We provide the program. Race, food shortages. Our children dying and it's not being acknowledged. We're leaving the people that's killing us to make the decision in the judicial system. All of the things that is being implemented on us is not being addressed because we're continuing to be pushing an agenda for the governmental system that is destroying us, so we're helping them. Until we continuously study separate ourselves. And don't be afraid to educate the person next to you. That's what we're trying to say. Then we will make a difference. If the person next to you just so happened, and I don't care what anybody feels, because we don't need to stop saying what we say, it's a poop picking up some niggas. Or if they're white supremacists, then they can go straight to hell where they belong. But if there's unity amongst everyone, and I think that's what the power of the Rainbow Coalition was trying to show us, and even with Huey them, speaking about all of the things that was happening with war. Although we might not want to stand, but the United States of America is built of multiple races of slaves that has been taken from their native land, and they have been manipulated. They were targeted, and so much that the map has been turned upside down to confuse us about who really brings them. So with that being said, we can't sit up here and fight against those people when there's 99 people that are in 99% that's enslaved and 1% that's running work. So I think if we can address that 99% and flip that over a little bit, the 1% will take off and run. And that's all I wanted to speak of, African power.
Black power. I've been seeing the caller 269 lit up to the line. The caller 269, you're on the air. Area code 269.
This is the National Minister of Law and Justice. This is Dr. Justice. The first question I'd like to ask is there anything wrong with the technical aspect? Because several people are talking, and while they're talking, they're fading out. We barely heard what Queen Nandi was saying. Also, when you guys are talking, it's the same thing. You fade out. So I was wondering if there's any technical difficulties and if you all can hear me just fine.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine on my end.
Okay. I have a comment regarding the fear. The fear is real. The fear is definitely real. I've had friends of mine to make statements like, oh, you're going to get everybody arrested because, you know, I posted something about this where Fred Hampton died at. You know, they're just so very, very afraid of, they're very, very afraid of what could possibly befall them for really empowering themselves or really being empowered. When you think about the fear factor, I think about how people grab their kids when they hear black power, they run. You know, they are afraid of. But I always said the only time black people are not going to be afraid, or African people, when they're not going to be afraid when they finally take away the food stamps, there's no oil, the water looks like it does in Flint, Michigan, or worse. There's no food. When all those things happen, and folks will then start banding together, and they're going to be running looking for people like you and I, you know, because they want to know how, they're going to want to know now how to survive. But when, as long as they still can go and get them a beer and turn that live vision on and maybe play a little Xbox, those are the same individuals that's going to use their fear as a crutch to not deal. Black power.
Black power. Well, there we have it. Fear.
Absolutely. And to address like what Justin said, I agree with her. Absolutely right. I mean, you know, but one of the sad parts is when they cut the program. You know, and this is the importance there again of the People's Black Panther Party, the People's Party. And we encourage people to look us up if you're whatever city you're in, find out your chapter, find out your representative, look up. If not, contact us. I know in Atlanta, I'm speaking like I'm on a national program, but in Atlanta, Decatur, check us out. But one of the things that's going to do that is when we talk about when they cut the programs, by our people not having institutions to train our people for the revolutionary transformation period, that period when they do cut the programs, that period when the assistance is brought to a complete end, our people are in predatory mode. That's the sad part. So before we actually would come together and unify, there will be a period of complete and total chaos, and where the strong will devour the less fortunate amongst us. Because that's the mode we're in now, Well, we're in a state of plenty. We prey on one another. We rob, we kill, we maim, we cheat, whatever, one another. So when that time comes where, you know, there's a scarcity and Negroes got to eat, the first people they're going to turn on and prey on are other Negroes, other black people, other Africans in America. The People's New Black Panther Party is saying that we have to prepare for that time and to take the motto is just like even this country has a motto. They say that they protect themselves from any enemy, foreign or domestic. We have to take that same mindset that not only do we defend ourselves from the outside forces that will come and destroy anything we're trying to build, but from those forces in a lot of instances and cases who look just like us, speak like us, act like us, and you would believe are one of us. So ideology, what we believe, is going to be very important, and to have the programs to back up those beliefs and to defend those institutions that teach those beliefs, that develop the programs that reflect those beliefs, are going to be imperative. So that's what's going to happen. And like you said, Sister Justice, it's coming to that time now where the people are going to seek us out. Where's the People Party just been in any progressive black organization that's for the empowerment and liberation of African people in America need to start preparing for that time to bring to take on the influx of the people to be able to train them, teach them, and successfully help them make that revolutionary transformation, period. Black power.
Black power. Tonight it was reparations of war. The people speak of fear. They say that our problem is fear. Well, I don't think we can walk into war with fear. I don't think that it would be good to walk into a war with fear on the other side. But here we are, truth be told. Saying that we should go to war. You can catch us here every night at 9 o'clock. Tune in, truth be told.